Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August the 23rd. Joining us this morning in just a moment is Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this morning comes from Abraham Cowley in, boy, a long, long, long time ago. God laughs at a man who says to his soul, "Take it easy." Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
Yes, we have got all kinds of cool stuff to talk about.
Okay, good. We're not live yet.
You bet we are. Of course we are. Not that we're always live, but we're live this morning. So.
Okay. Okay.
This is going to be weird because we actually have questions written out. This never happens.
I love this.
Ever happens. But
yeah. I love it.
The technical crew around here, me, screwed up the recording yesterday of her. So I took the notes. So in theory, we can replicate the same wittiness
and
spontaneity
right.
from yesterday.
Oh, look at this. Look at this. My God.
Yeah. You got some exciting stuff there. It's all natural.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it looks wonderful.
Well, we'll find out. I don't know. I've not tasted it. Well, you want to introduce the topic then? At least I can then take back my notes.
Oh, yeah. Well, marijuana regulation update. My goodness. Okay.
Well, that's kind of what we ended up with.
Yeah. Yes.
I know a lot of the fixation here locally has been around the permits and things of that nature, with the specter of the feds out there and the specter of the state out there.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on at the state level regarding this? Are they allowing the counties to do what they're supposed to do, or something not quite so simple?
Well, it's really interesting, the interface between the state and local in terms of marijuana cannabis regulation. So the bottom line here is that we on the North Coast, all six counties from Lake Sonoma on up, got together when the state was putting its regulation together, and we insisted on local policy making abilities. And that has been factored into the regulations. That being said, there's still, an interface between the state and the counties, especially with the passage of Prop 64, which says that the state can actually issue a license if the county doesn't have a program in place, or if the county doesn't respond when the state tells the county that somebody is applying for a license. So that's an issue that we want to address pretty quickly here before the state starts handing out licenses.
So the state has a tier of licensing.
Mm-hmm.
The counties have a tier of licensing. Mm-hmm. Do they have to have two licenses? Or is one kind of the backup or support of the other?
One is in support of the other. So in other words, once the state licensing program goes into place, you can't just have a county license. Right now, at this point, that's all you can have. But come January of 2018, you will have to have a state license. In some counties, you won't have a county license. But what the state has said at the last meeting in Sacramento is that they will give the county notice that somebody is applying for a license. And if the county says, no, sorry, this person is not in good standing with us, then the state will not issue the license. But the county does have a limited time to respond.
So what is the reason why the state is requiring a state license in addition to the local license? If there's already a local license in place.
Well, it started out that it would just be a state licensing system, but our insistence and others' insistence on local control basically made it that we could, in fact, be a little bit more strict than the state was asking for. And so that's what you're going to get in a lot of counties. In fact, some areas, either counties or municipalities, will be banning cultivation altogether. We have that in Fortuna at this point, a real move towards at least banning cultivation and possibly other aspects of the industry as well. And I think, we're going to run into some fuzzy area there with the Proposition 64 language, which allows people to grow for their own use. That's going to be difficult for some to enforce.
If memory serves me, the things that Humboldt County has put in place tend to be environmental connected.
When, mm-hmm.
when
Johnny absolutely.
Was doing it, it was yeah, the furry yeah. critters mm-hmm. and water. And
yeah.
Is the state's licensing considering that? Or is that something that the local jurisdictions are having to insert and that the state isn't looking at?
This is one of the thorny areas, actually, because as we all know, the state has a lot of different agencies. And the
really?
Really, yeah, right. So you've got, you know, the water quality, the water rights, fish and wildlife, CAL FIRE, on and on and on. And they all have a say one way or another. The bottom line is that there can be some friction between the implementation, and we have to work those things out, and it all comes down to communication. We have already witnessed now a situation, for instance, in Trinity County, where the Board of Supervisors were so felt so impacted by the state kind of putting barricades in their way, if you will, that they wrote a letter to the state asking them to work with them because they were busting people who were actually trying to come into compliance with the county.
Does the state have that same overlay, Estelle, with, let's say, alfalfa farmers, walnut farmers, other things that are far more pedestrian?
Right.
But that are also subject to local jurisdictional, I guess, standards with water, with environmental, with mm-hmm. all these other things. Do they come in and do that also, or is this marijuana specific that they're playing with?
Marijuana is much more regulated than alfalfa or corn or what have you. I mean, the state also, remember, the California Department of Food and Agriculture is who's going to be doing all the inspections, CDFA. Our local ag commissioner will be the one tasked with track and trace, licensing, et cetera, on that side of the issue. So this is extremely complicated and, yeah, definitely more regulation than alfalfa.
Do the wine guys have this level?
You know, the wine guys have a little bit more than alfalfa, but less than cannabis.
I guess kind of what I'm beating about the bush
is yeah.
Because it's marijuana, does the state want to step in because they see a potential for increased revenues?
That could be a case. Yeah. That could be a case.
All righty. Sure. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell, Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor. Estelle, what is CSAC's role in all of this? Because I know that you guys get together, and I would think that county regulations being overviewed
mm-hmm.
by the state would be a concern by everybody, anybody who's in favor of local rule.
Yeah.
Is CSAC out in front on this thing? Are you guys doing battle with the state, backing them off? So little old Trinity County that I'm sure, I mean, if we don't cause a ripple, I don't even know if they would exist from Sacramento's perspective, you know, with what, 16,000
people? Well, we're trying to make sure that Sacramento realizes that they do exist. And, you know, places like Plumas, everywhere, Siskiyou, Shasta, Yuba, CSAC is paying attention. I'm on a cannabis working group there. We've had several meetings, and it's interesting, at every single gathering of states, counties, we've had standing room only at the cannabis workshops, because every county has to deal with this. So CSAC is taking a very active role now. They were very reluctant to do it for years, but now they really see that it's important for us on the ground to have their to have a unified voice, and it's been working, you know.
Is it an aggressive voice or a passive voice?
I would say it's getting a little bit more aggressive, you know. At least we have, we came out with a very extensive policy statement that we passed on to the legislature, and it really did emphasize local control and also just working with the state. One of the things we're working on, as you're aware, is track and trace. That's a very complicated thing. We had...
How come?
Well, it's complicated because how do you actually enforce tracking every single plant that's grown legally in the state of California?
Is it the plant or is it the product of the plant?
It's the plant.
Because the plant never makes it to market.
Yeah, well, it's the plant and the product, okay, but it starts with the plant. Now, when you're, I think that, you know, you're not going to go down to those tiny little starter plants. You might have
a little tomato plants.
Yeah, right. You might have like a little tag on the tray, but once it becomes a viable plant, then it's tagged and it's traced all the way through wherever it goes.
So it's kind of like cattle.
You got it. You know, it's got a number, and so if it becomes a little bud, that's what it's tagged thusly. If it becomes oil, it'll be traced all the way through.
Now, the beef industry has that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't they just say, okay, it's not a cow, it's a plant?
Well, more or less. I mean, the bottom line is that you've got, you'll have to have... agricultural commissioners and their employees out on the ground making sure that all of these things are actually being tagged.
Spot checks?
Yeah, right. Inspections, yearly inspections and spot checks. And so what Humboldt County is doing actually is we're doing our own track and trace and it will dovetail with the state one, which I think gives us a little bit more oomph. You know, it will be you know, I mean, after all, there are 58 counties, and we'd like to ensure that anything that's coming out of Humboldt County is, in fact, Humboldt product.
To be legal, or is there going to be vice taxes or sin taxes associated with this?
There are all sorts of taxes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, well, that's what we hear about, you know, is that...
It may actually
wind up being overtaxed. I don't know. The state is taxing it. We're taxing it, you know.
Was the county taxing it, or are you guys just putting fees in place for the code?
No, we have an excise tax. So we have fees for all of the licensing process, and then we have an excise tax depending on the square footage of the plant.
At retail.
Cultivation. Retail, at this point...
Is it a sales tax? No. It's not being treated like tobacco where they've got...
That will be covered by the state tax. There's a state excise tax on the product itself. So
that's where they're going to get their pound of flesh.
Right. And I'm going to have to go back to my books and check to see if we're charging an excise tax on things like dispensaries. I know we are in manufacturing. So we're basically land-based, you know. Well, you know, if you've got a manufacturing facility or distribution facility, there are fees associated with that.
Now, you mentioned distribution, and I know that that's a huge, huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
The transportation of product from here to there.
Yep.
And let's stay inside the state. Boundaries, mm-hmm. So we don't have the interstate issue. Has that been ironed out yet?
It is in the process of being ironed out. The state has promised us they'll have everything lined up by the end of the year, by the beginning of 2018. I remember in the early on discussions, we were talking with members of the CHP. The track and trace is very much aimed towards that. So in other words, somebody gets stopped by a CHP officer, let's say he's down in Lake County.
So he just
Somebody from Humboldt is supposed to be going to Alameda County, but they find him out somewhere in Lake, and it's like, well, what are you doing here? If you're
Oh, so each individual will run.
It'll tell them, yeah, where they're supposed to be going.
Oh, I'm sure that the Highway Patrol is really tickled about that.
Well, it'll make it easier for them. It'll make it a lot easier for them. And, you know, if somebody's got a bill of lading with the proper track and trace ability, make it a lot easier.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Estelle, the track and trace elements and some of the parts of that, or the components of that, you've got the state regulators, you've got, I guess, county regulators, but you've also got the individuals that are, I guess, serving the role of ABC, content, measuring, double checking, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
What I've been told is that the closest one right now is in Santa Rosa. Okay. But that there's a real challenge in getting these folks numbers, and then significant question about their competency level. You know, if you took a class of chemistry in high school 30 years ago, they're saying, yep, okay, you're on board. That doesn't sound like the pharmaceutical industry. That doesn't sound like the tobacco industry. That doesn't sound like food. That doesn't sound like anything else that we would ever allow such a regulated standard, but such inexperience or incompetency, we'll just kind of inward, from the regulators.
Yeah.
Now, some may argue, okay, planning has that, but let's not go down that road. So are the regulators going to be viable?
Well, this is a very, very big challenge for the state, because it is in the state's hand to make sure that they're tested. There's also going to be money going out now for the testing of competency to drive, you know, so that we can establish what a DUI
standards.
Is. Yeah, yeah, establish standards. So locally, I mean, we are going to be funding some of that and figuring out what the standards are. There have to be standards. And that was one of the things that we included in the CSAC policy statement, was uniform standards and some way to establish that. Yes, there are a lot of people, homegrown testing facilities, if you will, who claim to know a lot and have studied a lot about it, because they've been going along with this all the time, ever since the passage of Prop 215. But outfits such as UC Davis or HSU, for that matter, were unable to really delve into it because of its legal federal standing. So now the state is going to put those kind of things in place. It's their challenge. It's a big one.
So Davis and Humboldt may and they
eventually I think that is going to happen. But
that's
right
the truth,
now
they got federal monies.
Exactly. You see, if you've got federal money, you can't do it. So they may I think. And I'm sorry that I don't remember now, but I know that there is a program being put in place to establish those standards. And I'm not sure where they're doing it, but I do know it's California State.
So let's look at your thoughts about, or at least the current state of, the retailing side.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked this of a number of folks in jurisdictions throughout the area, and they all kind of look at me like I've got a third eye. Maybe I do. I just don't know. Is there going to be, as there is with bar and with alcohol retailers, a limit put into place by Humboldt County for the number of retailers of this stuff January 1?
I think that's one of the things we're going to be looking at as we develop our program. Remember, we're just right now in the environmental impact report. So it's, again, you stress a lot of our regulation is going to be on the environmental level.
The producer side.
Yeah, right. So I think that with regard to licensing for retail, we'll be looking at what the state comes out with and how to follow through with that. It's interesting to me because, traditionally speaking, this is a producer and county, but there are more and more people interested in the idea of retailing, especially after the passage of Proposition 64. So we'll see how that goes. There are these concepts that have been thrown about of the quote-unquote wine tasting model, you know, where people will go to a location and they'll be able to test the product. Whether or not that's allowed, you know, that is allowed now under Prop 64. What that's going to look like is still being worked out. But one thing I can tell you is that you can't sell alcohol if you're going to be selling cannabis.
You've got drug-free zones around schools already.
Yes.
So let's presume that will be recognized and abided by.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've been very strong about that.
We don't have the general plan in place. So how are there going, or are there going to be even areas where retailing of marijuana is going to be prohibited?
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah, absolutely.
By the county?
Yeah.
So an amendment to the old plan, or is it in the new plan?
Well, it can be part of the ordinance as well, the cannabis ordinance itself, which would, you know, just it already establishes zones where certain activities can take place. So
there is some narrowing.
There's already definitely zones already.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, 8:46 is our time. We're back talking shop with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, one last thing about the marijuana. Do you see Safeways and CVSs and Walgreens? I mean, if it's a dispensary, that's where pharmacists are.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard any of those larger, or even like the locals, stepping forward and wanting to be the retailer, the dispensary of marijuana, or is this somebody else stepping in there thinking they can make a quick buck and may not truly understand the regulatory climate?
Yeah, I'm not sure at this point. I'm not aware of any of the major corporations doing that, but I have heard that could be down the pike for sure. But it would definitely, there's a lot of regulations about preventing access from children to access it. So it's very highly regulated. I'm not sure when that's going to happen. If it's normalized, probably
sometime in the
next
5 months, huh?
We'll see. I'll be in Sacramento again somewhere before the end of the year, and we'll be talking about it. So
take
we'll
my attitude with you, will you?
Yeah. And we're also going to be meeting down in San Diego for the conference, and there's going to be a big workshop on it again. So I'll have a lot more updated information at that point and not be quite so vague about what the state is doing, because they're very determined and say they'll get everything in place. We'll see.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Got a couple minutes left. With the fire that we're having in Curry County,
mm-hmm.
Are there lessons there that Humboldt County can learn from? I know you were involved with the stuff down at Salmon Creek
yeah.
a number of years ago. with this happening, with the concept of wilderness and let it burn and some of the, well, it seems like goofy forest management tactics that are being employed in some areas, is Humboldt County, would we react any differently than we have in the past, or are we just watching the fuel load increase and it'll be the same thing,
second version? Humboldt County is pretty proactive in this, and I would say I'm going to tip my hat to CAL FIRE. I do think that I've talked with firefighters, and there is a real issue with management on the federal level sometimes, because there's this concept that this can just burn out and it'll be healthier for the forest. But things have changed. I mean, look at what's happening, 98,000 acres in the Chetco Fire, and, you know, okay, it's burning, but what are we dealing with? We're dealing with gigantic amounts of smoke. We're dealing with evacuations. We're dealing with people's lives being threatened. So I think there's got to be a little bit more proactive approach. One of the things you've got to do is you've got to do fire-safe clearing. You've got to make sure that that fuel load isn't as heavy. The other thing is, once you've got yourself into a situation like this, especially with a massive lightning attack, you have to be proactive in getting the word out into the community and getting and informing people. And I know that you mentioned my past with it. CAL FIRE was very, very good about coming on the radio and keeping the community informed. I mean, we just gave them carte blanche to get on KMUD and just come on and kept the community informed. And I think that really helped. So that is one way to do it. We tend to assume that everybody's got a tablet or they're on Facebook or whatever, and that's not the case. And I think having people who are involved with it be there to talk is really important. And I think also the questions and the information they get from community is important. It's a two-way street. So
yeah, it's tough sledding.
Yeah.
We'll make it through. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, thank you.
Bye. See everybody tomorrow.